This morning we're going to continue our series on God, and we're looking at it specifically, or trying to look at it from the perspective of a child. Mark chapter 10, the parents were bringing the children to Jesus, and the disciples said, "Oh, don't, you can't do that, he's the Son of God, he's way too important for your children." But Jesus is attractive, and he knows children come to him, and he said, "Let the children come to me. For to such belongs the kingdom of God." And we're to receive the kingdom like that small child. And last week we looked at the goodness of God. We looked at this idea that God is good. He's all the time good. He's everywhere. Everything he does is good. Everything that he is good. And he defines a standard of goodness. And today we look at that theological term that is called the omnipresence of God. Or as a small child would put it, God is everywhere, or that God is with me. You know, that's to personalize it. If God is everywhere, that means that he's with me wherever I might go. He's not just, over here at some other church. He's not somewhere else in some other area of the world. He's with me. And that means a lot to me to know that my God is with me wherever I go. How many of you remember watching the movie Home Alone with Kevin McAllister? You remember that? And he got sent to his room when he sort of was being a little ornery. And they forgot about him. They were going to go on vacation. They forgot about him, and he was left all alone. And at first, it was a great ball. I mean, he could eat popcorn, watch all the movies he wanted to watch. I mean, he had a real ball doing anything he wanted to do. But if you'll remember, after the furnace cracks and pops, the wind blows through the windows, the dog barks and howls outside. And then, of course, he has the little combat with two of those men who want to break in and rob the joint. I mean, it becomes a little bit different here, but how many of you have ever been home alone? I'm telling you, when some of you walk into your house at night, you're going to flip on every light in the house, right? I mean, I don't like to walk into a dark house at times, and I know that you don't either because I've heard about that. And so that's the reason why we come in and we have a night light, but I think about as a small child, and I think about as a parent, how many of you ever awoke in the morning only to discover that during the thunderstorm at night that your small child had come into the bedroom, climbed into your bed, or they were laying at the foot of the bed? Ever happened to you? Sure it does, because the best place to be is with the parent. I like Max Lucado's story that I've shared. I love it because it just somehow touches my heart. But it's about Paul, and he was about 3 or 4 years old at the time. And he lived down in West Texas. And his father saw a funnel cloud that was snaking its way across the prairie grass one day. And he had all the children come in, and he took them into an inner part of the room, and he had them lay down along with their mother, and he put a mattress over their head, and he said to them, "Lay here, and you'll be safe." And Paul says, as a 3 or 4 year old child, here he is laying under this mattress, and he notices his dad is not there, and so he peeks out from underneath the mattress, only to find that his dad is standing at the window of the house watching this funnel cloud make its way across the prairie. And he remembered climbing out from underneath that mattress, going over to his daddy and grabbing a hold of his leg. And he said, "Years later, I stood there and I recalled that event," and he said, "something told me that the safest place to stand in the midst of the storm was next to my daddy." And when it's dark outside or when we're going through tough times, it's good to know that our dad is there or that our mom is there. It's good to know that God is there. And David has a way of putting that in Psalm 139. This is a really great psalm that I love. And if you break it down, it really describes all the characteristics of God. But he says, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost parts of the sea, even there your right hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." And so very simply in this psalm, he's saying, where's God? Where's God? It's a very appropriate question to ask. Where is God? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Where is God? I always think about this, and you probably will say, "Pastor, you've shared that before," but small children teach me so much, honestly. And I was standing at the front of the church, and this little boy, about 4 years old, comes up to the front of the church, and he looks all around, and he says, "Preacher, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Think of the little boy who said to his mother one day, said, Mommy, is God on the moon? And she said, well, yes, honey, God is on the moon because God is everywhere. Well, he said, is God in my tummy? And she was sort of thinking about, well, where in the world is this all leading to? And she said, well, sort of. And then he said, well, if God's in my tummy, I think he wants a happy meal. You know, and I think we all agree with that. If God's in my tummy, he wants a happy meal. But where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And he says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. Three times he says, you're there, you're there, you're there. Wherever I go, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go into hell or into Sheol, you're there. There's no place where we can be where God is not. And so very simply, the God who is everywhere is there. The God who is everywhere is there. And you cannot hide from God who is everywhere because he's there. He's there. I think about Adam and Eve who, of course, was placed in that garden at paradise. And they rebelled against God, or they sinned against God. And they tried to hide behind a bush that God had created. Can you imagine that? Trying to hide behind the bush that the creator of the universe has made? They can't hide from God. And we all remember the story of Jonah, who didn't want to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel, so he runs as far as he can in the opposite direction. He can't run from God because wherever you go, God is there to confront him. And he says, Jonah, you know, I'm here. And he had to deal with Jonah bringing back. You can't hide from God because the God who is everywhere is there. So there's nowhere that God cannot be. And in a positive way, that means that God is with me wherever I might be, wherever I am, whatever situation of my life. But not only is God who is everywhere is there, but the God who is everywhere is here. He's right here. You know, that's what we celebrated during Christmas, that God became flesh in Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. And so the God who is everywhere is here right now. And that's personal. Because again, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own, as the old hymn writer says. But he came to live among us as a people. You know, he walked among us and he healed the deaf and cured the lame and he made the blind to see. He even raised the dead. But the God who is everywhere is here. There's no place where we cannot be. Now notice again this passage of scripture, and I could go back there if you want to, but he says, where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I hide from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. There are several things that we describe about God and about what this means, because if we go on, we'll find out that death cannot hide me from God. I've had about 3 funerals in the last 4 weeks. And I try to reassure and comfort the families by just pointing them to the scriptures and saying, you know what? You know, we're going through a dark time, but even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does it say? Thou art with me wherever I am in the darkest of my nights. Death cannot hide me from God. And it says there that if I ascend into heaven, you are there. And we say, well, duh, yeah, God lives in heaven. That's his headquarters, right? I mean, that's where he resides. He lives in heaven. That's where he lives. But this also, it says, if I make my bed in Sheol or hell. It's actually the word Sheol, and it means the place of the dead or the grave. So whether I am in heaven or whether I'm in the grave, God is there. And of course, hell is the absence of God. But God's presence, you know, is there. And he walks with us, and he's there. And David understands that. He's present this side of heaven, and he's present the other side of death and of the grave. He's there as well to be with me. And we go through those uncertain times, you know. We know that we have heaven, but people go through uncertainty. But death cannot hide me from God, and it cannot separate me from the love of God. And neither can distance either, because if you go on, it says in verses 9 and 10, he says, if I take the wings of the morning, we can go back there and look, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And in scripture, the right hand means the strong hand of God. But it says there that wherever I go, distance cannot separate me from God. You know, if I am in Afghanistan, God is there. You know, I can travel at the speed of light and go to the moon. God is there. You know, someday they might land on Mars. God is there. Wherever I am, God is there. God's in Indiana. God's in Ohio. If I'm in California, God is there. If I'm in China, God is there. If I'm in Israel, God is there. Just think about this. With God, there's unlimited texting, and there's unlimited calling, and there's no fee for international calls. Wherever you are, you can talk with God. God is with me, and that's what a small child would understand. You know that God is with me. If I'm at school, God is there. Physically speaking, you know, our mommy and daddy's still at home or at work. But with God, He goes with me everywhere that I go. And I like that. And then we find, of course, that it says, darkness shall not hide me from God. And He says, very simply, He says, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me, but the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as a day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. And so very simply, darkness cannot hide me from God. And again, when it's dark outside, you know, and there's no light, aren't you glad for it? When the electricity goes out, have you really comprehended how dark it gets? You know, it really does get dark, right? Remember the ice storm that we had, well, was it about 5-6 years ago? Hopefully we never have another one, but remember how dark it was outside? Wow. One little glimmer of light. I have my grandkids come and they stay with me, and they what do they need at nighttime when they sleep? They need a night light. How many of you need a night light to sleep? All right? Be honest with yourself this morning. You need that. But physically speaking, we need night lights. But how about spiritually speaking? Because I think about darkness, and I think about what is called the dark night of the soul. Spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, we come and we pray. And we go through that time of our life when we pray, and it seems like our prayers are sort of ricocheting off the ceiling. And we pick up the Word of God, and we read the Word, and it's dry as dust. We come to church, and we say, man, that preacher, he can't preach. He's so boring. Church is so boring. And it's just drier than all get out, and I'd rather be anywhere else. But you know, you can pray and it can ricochet off the walls, and you can read the Word and it seems like it's dry, and we can worship and it seems like God is not there. But I'm going to tell you, God is still there. Because even in the midst of the darkness and the light are both alike to God. Darkness cannot hide you from God. Darkness can hide a lot of things, but it cannot hide you from God because He can see it. It's like, you know, Superman vision. He has X-ray vision. He can see anything anywhere. And the good news about that is even in the midst of my darkness, the psalmist says, that my God is there with me, and the scriptural passage and promises, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And I love that. David Livingstone, who was a missionary and explorer to Africa, that was his favorite verse. I will never leave you, never forsake you. He said, that's the word of a gentleman. You know, Moses understood that when he was called to go into Egypt and speak the words of deliverance to the people of Israel. He said, I'll never leave you. When he told Gideon to go fight the Midianites, he says, Gideon, I'll never leave you. When Paul was bound in that prison cell in the darkest of the pits, you know, rats nibbling at his toes, and the sewage system would run through the prison system. It stunk to high heaven. But God says, even there I will be with you because I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. And before Jesus left this world, He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never walk away. So Psalm 139 simply says that we are always in the care of God. We're always within His reach. We're always within His sight. Everywhere, always, God is there to walk with us, care for us, and to be there for us. Now, I like what it says in the book of Isaiah. If you want to turn to Isaiah, and I don't have this up on the screen. I don't believe I do. In Isaiah chapter 49, it says this. And I'm not really fond of tattoos. You know, I don't have a tattoo. I don't have any on my body anywhere. But anyway. But it says this, you know, that God in many ways has a tattoo. Did you know that? In Isaiah 49 verse 16, well, let's go back and read verse 14. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. I mean, they're going through this dark night. They feel like the God has forgotten about them. But He says in verse 15, I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you or tattooed you on my hand, or on the palms of my hand, your walls are continually before me. God has our name etched in His hand. He has our name etched in His mind. You know, the one who's called the Ancient of Days, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He says, I will never forget you. Your friends might walk out on you. Your friends might betray you. Your friends might desert you. The person whom you thought was your close, you know, your close friend might all of a sudden one day just walk out, forget about it. I will never do that. I will never leave you. Your mom and dad, your parents might split up and go one way or the other. I will never leave you, never forsake you. You might go through the deepest, darkest of nights and illness and obstacles and circumstances from your job might come against you, but I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I'm there to walk with you through that. And so very simply, when you stop and you think about all of this, you find that the God who is everywhere wants to have this divine moment with each and every one of us every day. And how do we experience this divine moment with God? Well, we have to talk with God, right? You know, I'm not saying that, you know, today sometimes mom and dad, parents and child, there's a tendency not to talk. God says, I want to talk with you. And not only do I want to talk with you, but I want you to listen to me. And the scripture says very simply that when you listen to God, it says he has a voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. He knows how to direct us. But I like the third, not only do you talk to God and listen to God, but you receive from God. You receive from God all that he has for you. I mean, the God who is everywhere is present in your life, and he wants to give you many, many great and precious promises. You see, the God who is present in our life, that presence to me gives me courage when I'm afraid. It gives me strength when I'm weak. It gives me that boost I need when I feel like I've failed and I've faltered and I've blown it. He gives me hope in the midst of my discouragement. He gives me substance and strength in the midst of my suffering. In fact, that's one of the greatest problems that we have as humanity is when you go through that dark moment and you're suffering and you're in pain, you're saying, where is God? And I think about Elie Wiesel, who shares in the book Night his experiences in that Nazi concentration camp. And in that Nazi concentration camp, it was horrible, horrendous things happened. And he says, one day the whole camp was brought out and three of his fellow prisoners were taken and they were set in chairs on this platform. And as they were set in these chairs on this platform, they had nooses put around their necks. And they were all made to force to watch this hanging of these three men. And as they were in that chair, so the noose around their neck, one of the men in front of him said, where's God? Where is God? And the lever was pulled, and the three of them went through the floor. Two of them instantly died. The third one did not die instantly. He was left hanging there, struggling for air, you know, his tongue throbbing and his eyes bulging. And they were made to walk past him and witness the suffering. And again, that man says, where is God now? Where is God? Where is he now? And Elie Wiesel says the only thing that he could hear was a voice within him saying, where is God? He's there on the gallows suffering with us. And that's exactly what happened at the cross of Calvary. You see, where is God in the midst of our suffering? He's there in the midst of our suffering. He's present with us. As we walk through the valleys, as we walk through the pain, as we walk through the suffering, he doesn't get up and walk away. He's there to walk with us through that. And you know, I don't know what it is in your life today, this morning, that maybe you're dealing with. Many times we have issues we're dealing with, and even the person sitting next to you doesn't know what it is that we're wrestling with. But I want you to know that God knows. God knows. God knows your heartache. He knows your pain. He knows the burdens. He knows the suffering. He knows what you keep from everybody else. He knows what it is you're holding tight within your heart. He knows. And when you come before God and talk with him and listen to him, he will carry you through that. And he will say to you, wherever you're at, I am. I am. I am. I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. And I will never leave you, never abandon you. You're always within my vision, always within my reach, always within my care. And I want you to understand this morning that wherever it might be that you're maybe dealing with, you know, that there are people here who are willing to pray with you. And who are willing to walk with you. I'm willing to pray with you and walk with you. Sometimes we have to bear that burden alone, but you got friends who come alongside and you lift you up on both sides. You know, and they help carry you through that difficult moment. But God is there. And even though the whole world might walk out on you, your friends might walk away from you, God will never, ever leave you, forsake you, abandon you, and walk away from you. I think somebody needs to hear that word this morning because you're going through that tough time. But God is. And everywhere that you are, he's there and he's here. There's nothing that can ever separate you from his great love nor from his divine presence. Precious Lord, we come to you today, and life is tough at times. We experience all sorts of obstacles and circumstances, and we go through pain and suffering, and we have questions and doubts in our mind and our hearts, and sometimes we pray and we read the Word, and it just seems like we're getting nowhere. But Lord, in the midst of it all, help us to understand that even though we might not feel your presence, we may not feel the joy when we read the Word, we may not feel as though our prayers are getting to heaven, that Lord, you know every thought that we think, you know the situation even before we express it, and you're there. You're there. And so just as Paul climbed out from underneath that mattress and grabbed a hold of the leg of his daddy in the midst of the storm, I pray, God, that this morning we will grab a hold of your leg, that we will grab a hold of your leg, and that your right hand will hold us close, because the safest place to be in the midst of all of life is next to our daddy in heaven. Thank you, God, for being there for us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's going through a tough time, help them to know that you're there, and that the body of Christ is there to help walk with them. But Lord, bless, comfort, encourage, give hope and strength. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.